The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, good day, and I suddenly find myself feeling, I think, quite happy to sit here. I think because of the topic of equanimity brahmaviharas that I'll be speaking about. So this is the second talk in this series on equanimity. And as a form of care for others, an attitude of caregiving, an attitude of kindness, goodwill for others, equanimity is when that goodwill is equanimous or not reactive or not agitated, when that goodwill is not influenced by any kind of pursuit of desire of wanting something and not caught up in repulsion or pushing away or not wanting something. And so, and this comes into play particularly importantly when it's hard to have goodwill for people, and it's hard to have pure love or kindness for people because of the circumstances they're in. And so one of them is that when people make choices for themselves that are not for their own benefit, and to have equanimity for people who make choices that are for their, even they're harming themselves with a choice. That's their choice, and that's their agency. That's their choice to make a choice, in a sense, even if it's unconscious, the choices they're making. But the choice is their own. And so how our goodwill comes into play when people are making choices, poor choices, is part of the domain or of this Brahmavihara of equanimity. So it doesn't make, you know, so certainly we can feel compassion for people, but the idea that, you know, to try to help them and want to help them, and when they're making the choices that are going in the opposite direction, it's kind of exhausting for the person who's compassionate, and maybe pointless. To have appreciative joy for their joy when we know they're making bad choices, we know that suffering is coming, is also challenging for the person who's wise and sees what's going on. But to be able to see this person's making choices, they're unfortunate choices, they're going in a poor direction, I still keep my heart open to them. I still have this goodwill and care about them. But I harm myself if I get all agitated by it, if I get contracted around it, or if I keep pushing to be compassionate and try everything I can to help the person, or if I go along and celebrate with them when what they're doing is actually quite harmful, even though they have kind of a joy. So how not to harm ourselves with our goodwill is a little bit the domain of equanimity. So the word equanimity in Pali is upekkha, and it has that. It comes from the root verb to see, to view, to have it up, to observe. And it kind of the etymology of the word kind of means to have an overview of the situation. And I think of it as a bird's eye view. And so to not be lost in the details of everything, but kind of have the overview of everything. So we see it. We can see it with wisdom and see kind of the bigger picture of it. So we're not caught in the details. So there are times when people, for example, will do you a favor, and they, you know, come to work or someplace, and a colleague says, you know, I had a really difficult night last night, or it's very hard. You know, I have family who has COVID, and people are dying, or you know, or my child was up all night and throwing up and having fever, and they come to work, and they say, you know, it's at a hard time, and I'm really irritable, and you say, oh, thank you for telling me. And then if you find that they express some irritable kind of tendency, you're much more forgiving of them. You say, oh, you know, they've had a hard time. You have the overview of why they are the way they are, and so you have more space for them to be that way. They've warned you. They've been kind enough to warn you and let you know. And so you kind of get out of the way. Okay, that's today. They're that way, and you feel for them. You have compassion for them a little bit. So you're kind of equanimous about how they maybe say a mean thing, or they cut you off going to the bathroom because, or something, whatever it might be. And so in that sense, it's an overview of the situation, a bigger picture of it, and so we're more equanimous and more at ease with what to do. So upekkha is a wisdom factor where our understanding of the situation is really useful for having that equanimity. To simply hold ourselves in an equanimous way is probably not so helpful, because holding and assuming something which is not really true for ourselves can also be exhausting and be harming for ourselves. So to begin kind of finding, how do you have that bigger picture? How do you have the view, the understanding of circumstances and of other people, so that when we have goodwill for them, when it's appropriate, we have equanimity, meaning we don't get agitated, we don't get restless or upset or contracted. And so one of the classic teachings in Buddhism is that everyone is has their actions as their own, and their actions. No one else makes like for your actions are your own actions. That no matter your circumstances, where you found yourself in life, there's a lot of unfortunate things that happen to people. We get sick and in all kinds of ways, or we end up living in a war zone, or a car drives into us. We're doing nothing wrong, but someone else maybe is not paying attention and they run into us and we're injured. And so those are not our choices to have these things happen. But we have a lot of choices, and how we choose to respond to any of that, how we choose to live our lives, we're always at a moment of choice. And when we are practicing mindfulness, we start seeing more and more the places of choice. More and more we notice it's actually a lot of choices moment by moment. If we're not mindful, we're just on automatic pilot. We don't see that we have choices about how we stand and how we look at people and when we speak and when we don't speak and how much food we eat or don't eat. We're on automatic pilot. A habit comes into play, or craving comes into play, or aversion comes into play, and it's driving the boat. We are not in charge. But when we see the place of choice, because it's just clear in the quiet, open, mindful mind, then when we exercise that choice, it's up to us the consequences of that choice. So if I see a thorn sticking up out of the ground, and I see it and know it's there, and I choose to step on it, and if I cut my foot and there's blood, that was my choice to do that, because I chose to step on it. That's a kind of dramatic example, but if you see you have a choice about what you're going to say, and you feel angry and you're going to use a swear word with someone, but you see you clearly have a choice, if you say the swear word and the person gets angry back, that's partly a consequence of your choice that happened. Or that person walks away and doesn't want to talk to you, that was partly a consequence of your choice. But if you see that choice, then you can say, well, wait a minute, I have a choice here. What choice do I want to live by? What is my deepest choice? What's the deepest values I want to live by here? What's most important for me? A pause and look and choose what that is. When we see that other people have choice as well, and we can't be in charge of the choices other people make, and we might support them, we might help them, advise them, all kinds of things we might do. But ultimately, people make their own choices. And when they make choices which are not wise for them, it's their consequences they're going to have to live with. And if those consequences are unfortunate, it's heartbreaking sometimes. But to not get our goodwill, our love for them, tied up and dependent on the choices they make, so that we don't exhaust ourselves with our compassion, we don't kind of regret the ways in which we celebrated with them, or and so to have goodwill with this overview of looking, these people that I love, that I care for, they're making choices, and those choices are not wise, and so I have to allow them. I have to be generous enough, certain generosity, to give people the autonomy, the dignity of making choices of their own. And then they have to live with the consequences. I will offer what support I can, I'll try to be supportive, but I'm not going to be responsible for all the consequences of their poor choice. They're going to have to live that out themselves to some degree. Exactly what degree, how much we're involved and don't involved, has a lot to do, again, with the consequences we think will come about by offering our support for someone. If we think we can actually turn them in a new direction, or help support them to come to a new way of living, maybe it's really great to offer a lot for them. But there's, but be very careful we don't harm ourselves in that process. And this is why mindfulness is so important, to really track ourselves and see what's going on inside of ourselves. And we have choices. We make choices as well. And can we choose the peaceful choices? It doesn't mean the passive choices. It doesn't mean the uninvolved choices. It means whatever choice we make, can we do so without the negative alternatives to equanimity? Can we do it without pursuit, without chasing something, wanting something, getting something, and kind of getting caught up in that need for something to happen? And can we do it without repulsion or contraction or aversion or pushing away or closing down or pulling away in horror or something? Can we do it without being restless and without being agitated? Can we do it with the mind at ease? And if the mind is at ease, then the goodwill has equanimity, and it becomes the equanimity Brahma-vihara. So beings are, so I'll read you the very famous, almost it's used liturgically in Theravada Buddhism about this, that I see it as understanding, appreciating people's place of choice. Beings have actions I take as being choices as their own. They have actions as their refuge. They have actions as their heritage, and they have actions as their closest relative, as their what they're connected to. So actions and choice are closely related here, and so be careful with the choices you make, not to be hamstrung, not to be inhibited, not to be passive in some kind of negative way. Use your choices so that whatever you do in the world, you do without hurting yourself. So you stay at ease, stay peaceful, stay equanimous in a way that allows the best qualities of who you are to be shared with the world. So, thank you very much.